Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. If Jesus is so brilliant, why does everyone not follow him? That's our question for this morning. It's the question we are asking at this point in Matthew's Gospel, if you've read Matthew's Gospel through from chapter 1 to this point. We meet Jesus of Nazareth. In chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew, we discover that he taught with great authority, and the crowds were amazed at his authority as a teacher. In chapters 8 and 9, we discover that he did things with great authority as we watch him heal the sick, raise the dead, and perform all manner of other miracles. And we discover that the crowds were equally amazed at his authority as a miracle worker. Authority to do and teach. And then Matthew chapter 10, we discover that a Jesus who is this good needs to be spread abroad. And the first disciples are sent out to tell everyone they find of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Matthew 11 and 12, we discover that not everybody responds to an amazing Jesus as you might expect. Many, for different reasons, reject him. And so we arrive in Matthew 13 asking the question, why is it, if Jesus is so amazing, that not everybody seems to think so? Why do many sane and sensible people not follow the Lord Jesus if he is this good? And if, like back then, it's important for us to be out there telling other people about Jesus, how are we supposed to do that if the reality on the ground is that many of the people we tell simply don't want to know? Well, welcome to Matthew chapter 13. And this is not just a chapter about other people. It's going to get personal as we look together at this material. This is going to ask us to consider why it is that we don't respond to Jesus as we might expect ourselves to. What is it that derails us along the way? And then the other way that this passage is going to come home to us is in asking us not to give up sharing the good news of Jesus with other people when we are met with a disinterested response and people just don't want to know. So Jesus tells a story. It's a story of a farmer sowing his seed on the ground. The seed lands in different kinds of soil and different things happen to it. It's a very familiar story to most of us. The seed represents the message about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the soils represent you and me. And different things happen to different seeds, which explains why it is that we might not respond to Jesus as you would have thought we would. Three different things could happen to us to derail us in our response. Firstly, we could become deaf. Let me read about the seed on the path. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Or in the explanation, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. When I was growing up, in my teenage years, my parents used to own a dog, and we would love taking the dog out for walks in the woods and so on. Very well-behaved dog, until it caught the slightest whiff of pheasant, and then it would be off. Now, here's the thing. Normally, you could recall this dog back to you with a simple request to it to come, and it would. Occasionally, the offer of a dog biscuit might help, but often even that wasn't needed. One whiff of a pheasant, and the dog could be no more than 3 or 6 feet away from you, and yet utterly incapable of hearing your command to come back. It just didn't hear. Selective hearing, totally deaf to your command. And that, says Jesus, is what happens to many people as they hear teaching about him. They hear the words, no problem there, but they just don't go in. And that can happen in so many ways. You're in church listening to the Bible being unfolded, and your mind just wanders off to what you need to do later that day. Or you don't really concentrate enough to remember it and take it in deeply, so that by the time you get home or you've left the building, the thoughts have thoroughly left your brain. Certainly, if somebody were to ask you at lunchtime, never mind Monday evening, what it was that you were thinking about from the Word of God on Sunday morning, you wouldn't be able to tell them, because the thoughts have just gone. They've flown the nest. This is why some people take notes as they listen to the Bible being taught and preached in church, either full notes or maybe just jot down 2 or 3 things that you are deliberately going to make sure you don't forget. And then you make a habit once a day for the next week just to glance down those 2 or 3 things until they're well lodged in your memory. We become deaf. That's one of the reasons why many of us do not respond to Jesus as we might. The second thing that can happen to us to derail us is that we can get hurt. Life is not all plain sailing. Here is the seed on rocky ground. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. We get hurt. We can get hurt by life, problems with our health, with employment. You hear that you're not going to be able to return to work once your furlough period has finished. Your employer doesn't need you anymore. Many hardships in life come along, and it just simply becomes one thing too many to be attentive to Jesus as well when life is tough. Hurt by life, or hurt by the fact that you follow Jesus. In some parts of the world, people become Christians, and as a result, they end up in prison. In some cases, they pay with their lives. It's that serious. In this country, it's more likely to be a little bit of polite cold shoulder. Perhaps your friends don't have you round quite as often. Perhaps your slightly inconvenient conscience means that you're not the one that gets the promotion at work. Little polite things like that, rather than a stint in prison. But whatever it is, if following Jesus is going to make life more difficult, you can see why many people will rethink whether it's a good idea after all, and quietly give up. And so it is, whether it's being hurt by life or hurt because you follow Jesus, so it is that that initial burst of huge enthusiasm at the thought of being a Christian and following Jesus just dwindles away as the harsh realities set in. We can become deaf. We can get hurt. Thirdly, Jesus says we could be distracted. We could be distracted. Other seed, Jesus says, fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So if the stony ground warns us that life being tough can lead us to drift from Jesus, can lead our response to him being derailed, the thorns warn us that the good times are also capable of doing that. I've observed there is never a season in life when it seems to be the right time to give proper time and attention to investigating the claims of Jesus and then committing wholeheartedly to following him and to being a part of his church, his people. It's never the right time. Talk to undergraduate students. They will tell you they have to study really hard, or party really hard, or something. But either way, they're really busy and they've only got so much time. They just haven't got time. Little do they know. Because when you catch up with them 3 years after they finished university, they're very aware that they're on the bottom rung of the career they've started, and they're having to work really hard, really long hours to impress the company that's taken them on, to prove that it was a good person to hire and to earn their promotion, start to move up the ladder. But perhaps in a few years' time, I'll be able to have a proper look at the claims of Jesus. Trouble is, a few years' time comes around and they've got married and children are on the way. And now they really haven't got time. And they're wondering what they did with all the time they had when they were at university. But it's too late. They haven't got that time now. It's really busy. But when the kids are out of nappies and they're all at school, perhaps there'll be a bit more time then. Except then it's the endless round of after-school clubs and listening to them read and doing homework. And as secondary school sets in, mum and dad's taxi service starts to be booked up far in advance, and you discover that you had even less time than you had when they were toddlers. But that's okay, because when the kids have flown the nest, I'll have time to look into the Lord Jesus. Except then you're trying to pay for them to get through university, so you have to not take the foot off the pedal at work, but earn that next little promotion and just keep yourself that little bit busier. But you will properly investigate the Lord Jesus when you retire. Except then you're so busy on an endless round of holidays or golf or trips to the caravan that you've got on a fixed pitch on the West Coast, that whatever it is, there's no time then either. It's never the right time. Things going well just keep you busy. And there's never time to give to the Lord Jesus and to his people. What happened to derail you from that response to the Lord Jesus that you wanted in theory to make? Well, just life. Life happened. And you were distracted. And so Jesus never got a proper look in. You can be deaf, You can get hurt, you can be distracted, or you can be fruitful. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Or the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Fruitful. What's the fruit that you bear if the word of the Lord Jesus takes proper root in your life? It's more seed to sow. 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown, says Jesus. I have to say, this is a huge crop. Any farmer who plants wheat or maize or something like that and got a yield out of the ground of 100 times what they put in would be utterly bowled over, even with modern farming methods, never mind ancient ones. This is an enormous harvest here. And what the harvest gives is more seed to sow. It's been multiplied. It's time to talk about the R number, properly known as the R0 coefficient. It's a measure of the spread of infectious disease, something we're extremely familiar with because of coronavirus. We all know from watching the news that the government's concern is to keep the R number below 1. And you know what this means. The R number is the average number of people that an infected person will pass the infection on to before they recover. So if a population has an R number of 2, every person who gets the illness infects 2 more, and then they infect 2 more, and it spreads and spreads and spreads. But if you have an R number of, say, 0.5, then only every 2 people who are infected infect, on average, 1 person between them, and so over time, the illness will get smaller in the population. You're familiar with this. We've lived with it for 3 or 4 months now. Well, that's the spread of disease. Let's take a more positive equivalent, the spread of the Christian faith. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, there were about 120 Christians. Today, there are billions of them. How have we got there? Exponential growth. You see, here's the thing. The Christians who are fruitful produce 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown in them. Christians who follow Jesus because they've heard of him from others always become people who then tell others in their turn. We become disciples who make disciples. And so if 30, 60, or 100 people hear of the Lord Jesus from you, even if some of them become deaf and don't want to know, and if others give up when life gets tough and others get distracted, there's still going to be many people for each of us who then does take root and in their turn can tell more people about Jesus. And so it grows and grows and grows until we have the billions that we have today. If Jesus is this great, why do more people not follow him? And the answer is, for lots of different reasons. Some are deaf. Some are in pain. And some are distracted. But don't worry about other people. Ask the question, what do you need to do to make sure that your response to the good news of Jesus is the one that you would like it to be? To make sure that the good news of Jesus takes root in your life in the way you would like. The other thing this means is that we mustn't give up sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Remember, the fruitful Christian is the one who shares. Now, many people you tell may not want to know. Others may give up along the way. But who knows, over the course of your lifetime, how many people might it be who, through the influence of others as well, but through your influence, through your sharing the good news with them, they come to know for themselves that Jesus is every bit as great as you have discovered him to be.